This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we be a witness and testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love and greetings, salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be steadfast upon the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life. May Allah grant us tawfiq and success in this month of Ramadan. May Allah grant all our ibadat to be accepted. May we achieve the reward of Laylatul Qadr. May all our sins be forgiven, and may we enter Jannah Firdaus along with our loved ones. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We are putting our footy hadith on hold because it's the month of the Quran, and it's good to focus our discussions and all our learnings around the Quran. And inshallah, over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about some of the lesser known Quranic stories and parables. So many times we spoke about the stories of the Anbiya. And in fact, during the Taraweeh series, for those who are following, we're doing the story of Nabi Musa, alayhi salam, which is the longest, basically the most prominent story of the Anbiya in the Quran. And so, but there are other little bits of stories here and there in the Quran that doesn't link exactly to a Nabi. And so inshallah, we hope in this few Jumu'ahs that we have in the month of Ramadan, we will discuss these Quranic reminders or certain parables, examples Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Inshallah today, I want you to think about a question which I'm sure you've at least thought about, no matter how strong your iman is, you've thought about this, or you've even discussed it with someone who does not believe in Allah. The question is always, have you ever wondered why good people suffer in this world? Right now, as we are talking about this, there are a million Muslims in China, the Uyghurs, locked up. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? More than a million Rohingya pushed out of their lands, making dua, fasting, making salah. It's not like they're bad people, pious people. Awliya of Allah, children. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so many more oppressed people, sick people, starving, going throughout. We don't have to look far, even in this land, the oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, is almighty, all-powerful. With one word, kun, He could solve all the world's problems. So why doesn't He do something? I'm sure this has crossed your mind, or you've even had a discussion about it. And at the same time, we see how many of the tyrants and the dictators and the most evil of people, they live the most luxurious of lives. And they die peacefully in their beds. After, you know, a ripe old age, almost 100, they pass away. No worries, subhanallah. In fact, one person said he embraced Islam through Hitler. How? He said he couldn't think to himself that Hitler, after killing 6 million innocent people, just got away with it. There has to be more to the story. We cannot imagine that all this injustice and this evil would go unanswered. There must be something, there must be retribution. If the story isn't finished, the book ends there, then yes, it's a terrible story. But if there's another chapter, a final chapter, then there will be justice. And we don't even have to think about the big injustices in our lives. Many of you might have experienced oppression in your work. You are a Muslim, you are doing everything that is right, and still things don't go your way. You don't get that promotion. Someone takes from you and they get away with it. Subhanallah. Ya Allah, I'm the one making dua, I'm making salah. That thief, that criminal, does what he wants and he gets away. Why, Ya Allah? And subhanallah, not every story of the stories of the Anbiya or the stories of the Sunnah end in happily ever after. Yes, many times we'll talk Nabi Musa alayhi salam. I don't want to spoil it, I'm sure by now. If you don't know how the story of Nabi Musa ends, that Firaun dies, he gets defeated, I'm sure it's not a spoiler. But alhamdulillah, the good guys win. But there are other stories where the good guys don't win in this dunya. And one of those stories which is going to be mentioned in the surah we'll recite is the story of the people of the ditch. Have you heard of the people of the ditch? It's mentioned in the Quran. Ashab al-Awdud, the people of the ditch. And so, this story, and I'm going to summarize a long hadith in Sahih Muslim, where there was a kingdom, some land, Allah alam where it was, we don't know whether these were Jews or Christians, could have been even South America. Remember, Anbiya came to every nation. And this kingdom, powerful kingdom, they had a minister who was in charge of magic. They had a chief magician, a sorcerer. And as the sorcerer got old, he said to the king, I need an apprentice, I need a young boy that will learn magic from me and will take over my role. And so they looked throughout the kingdom and they found the most brilliant, the smartest young man. And he started learning magic from the magician. And all this student came and went from the palace where he was learning the magic. He would pass by a certain area and he saw a little like hut or something, and there was just a man living alone in there. And he got into conversation with this man, and this man was like a wali, a person who just worshipped Allah alone, you know, a monk. Stayed in seclusion, didn't involve himself. Okay, he didn't give da'wah, he didn't work. He just worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so the boy became friends with this monk. And so the monk started to explain to him about Allah and, you know, the religion. And so this boy is learning, on the one hand, truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other hand, is learning the worst of knowledge, the knowledge of magic, which comes from shaitan subhanallah, working with jinn. So he has these two conflicting information. And the one has power, no doubt. Magic has power, it can do things. And on the other side, this is his learning information that says this is the Rabbul Alameen, the all-powerful. All power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the power of shaitan is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, one day this boy was confused and he was not sure which one of these two teachers were telling the truth. I'm summarizing this, some little bits as well. And there's this beast that comes into the town, and so he picks up a stone and he says, Ya Allah, which if you are the truth and this knowledge is right, then show me. And he throws this beast and this animal dies. And so he's convinced that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the right way. And so he tells his teacher that this is what happened, and his dua came true. And so the teacher told him, the sheikh said, you know, my son, now you are the teacher, I'm the murid now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised you up beyond me. And unfortunately, though, what this means, with more iman comes more tests. You're going to be tested. And so he starts healing people, making dua, not healing them through himself. People would come to him and they would ask for healing. They were blind, they were sick, and he would make dua and he would teach them about Allah. So you make dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. And through his karama, and maybe he was even a nabi, we don't know, the people were cured by the grace of Allah. Eventually the news reached the king. Long story short, the news reached the king, and the king called this young man and said, tell me, you are telling the people that you are curing these people through a Lord. I am the only Lord. This guy's like Firaun. I don't know of another God other than me. What God are you talking about? I am God. And so the boy said, no, the Lord, your Lord and my Lord and the Lord of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this king then said, you either give up this, what you are believing in, or I'm going to execute you. And after many times of trying to execute this boy, try to throw him off the mountain, try to drown him in the ocean, try to cut him up, nothing worked. Couldn't kill this boy, was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this boy said, or this young man said, if you really want to execute me, I will tell you how to do it. On condition, you have to bring the entire city in one area, in an arena, and you have to say, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, the Lord of this boy, and shoot me with an arrow. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, right? That if you shoot me with an arrow, then I will die. And so the king said, great. And we'll find, subhanAllah, similar. Allah will use something similar with Fir'aun. He will bring all the people to one location to witness the grandeur of Allah. He would be the one that gives the da'wah. He will spend the money to give the da'wah. And so the king gathers all the people. The boy is standing there. Obviously, he's very famous now because he has cured a lot of people. And the king says loudly, in the name of Allah, Lord of this boy, he shoots the arrow and he kills the boy. And when he does that, the entire city becomes Muslim. The idea was he's going to martyr himself to show the greatness of Allah and the weakness of this king. And so the entire city became Muslim. But the story doesn't end there. I said the story doesn't end happily ever after. When these people embraced Islam, the king said, like I killed this boy, anyone else who embraces this religion is also going to be executed. And those who refuse, they will be burned to death. And he dug ditches. That's why they call the people of the ditch. He dug deep trenches around the city, filled it with fuel. And he said, whoever refuses to leave Islam, they will go in there. And the people that refuse, they, you know, the king and the army, they set up chairs around these huge fires and they started throwing people in the fire, one by one, burning them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't come and save, do anything. Allah allowed this to happen. Even a lady comes and she has a newborn baby in her hand and she and her baby is about to throw in and they say, last chance, you and your child will be burnt. And she hesitates and the baby speaks one of the few times, about seven times in the hadith where a baby speaks, Nabi Isa, one of them, this baby speaks and says to his mother, oh mother, be patient, for you are on the haq. This is the right way. This is Jannah basically. This is not a fire, this is Jannah. And so they fall into the fire and they die. And that's the end of the hadith, subhanAllah. Now this hadith came The Prophet is telling the Sahaba, when did he tell them the story? When they were in Mecca and they were being abused and tortured, Bilal, we all know the story of Bilal, and there was no way out. We just, all we can do is make dua, but nothing is happening. And so the Prophet is telling the Sahaba that Allah does things on his own time and when he wants to and with his wisdom. And so Allah revealed the surah. And this surah, Surah Al-Buruj, which many of us know in Juz Amma and we recite it, read it from a perspective of if you, subhanAllah, are being oppressed, or the oppressed people in China sitting now, Allah make it easy for them, Allah grant them freedom, or those who have lost everything. You read this and you think, where is Allah? Read this, this surah. At the same time, if you are the oppressor, and you are the tyrant, and you have wronged anyone, read the surah as well. And the surah can be understood in both ways, depending on how you read it. So, A'udhu Billahi Shaitan Rajeem, Allah subhanahu says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. Allah says, I swear by the sky filled with buruj. Buruj are towers and fortresses. But now, what towers do we see in the sky? Constellation of stars. Allah says, I swear by the sky and all the stars that you see, these mighty stars. Now, side note, what are stars really? They are burning balls of fire. Right, they are huge furnaces. Allah says, I swear by the sky and these furnaces that are burning in the sky. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. And I swear by the promised day, the day that is promised. Now many times Qiyamah is referred to other things. This is one of the few times you hear Qiyamah being the day that is promised. Now when do you say, I promise you? Can be a warning, I promise you, you're going to see. Or, I promise you it'll be okay. For the one who's going through a hardship, Allah says, the day that I am promising you will come to pass. It will happen where the scales will be put right. And Allah says, وَشَاهِدِ وَمَشْهُودِ. I swear by the one who witnesses, by the one who witnesses the witness and the mashhood, the event that was witnessed. Now, many tafsiriya, the witness could be the criminal and the mashhood is the one, the victim. Or it could be the one who is witnessing is Allah. Allah says, I swear by the one who witnesses everything and the event that was witnessed. Now, instead of using seeing, Allah used witness. When do you have witnesses? Like in a court case. So Allah says, there is a witness and there will be an event that was witnessed and all of that is being recorded. So Allah swore by four things. He swore by the stars and by the day of Qiyamah that is promised. And He swore by the one who witnesses and the events that were witnessed. All the things that happened, all the injustices, I swear by those things. Kutila ashabul ukhdud. Allah says, cursed and be destroyed the people of the ditch. Allah says, they will be destroyed. Those, the people of the ditch, the king and his army, they are cursed. They are cursed. Allah, and it's very few times you find in the Quran where Allah actually curses a people. Allah says, cursed are they. An-nari dhati al-waqood, and the fire which they fuel, that very hot fire. And again, you can read it, either the fire which they themselves filled with fuel, or the fire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fuel. Now what is the fuel of Jahannam? People. People, the criminals. إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ. How they sat, Allah says, how they, the king and the army, sat around the fire, watching the Muslims being burned. Now, sitting around the fire is also symbolic of how they're going to sit in the fire in the day of Qiyamah. وَهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. Again, this word, shuhud, shahida, witness. And Allah says, and they themselves are witness. They will be the witness on Qiyamah to what they did to the good people. They are the shuhud. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah won't bring the victims to testify. The criminal himself will be the, will bear testimony. And Allah says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. And the crime of these people, the crime of the Uyghurs, the crime of the Rohingyas, the crime of the Palestinians, what was their crime? Why are they being tortured so much? مَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. They are punished إِلَّا except أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Except that they just believe in Allah, the Lord of all things, the Lord, the most powerful, the most praiseworthy. That was their crime, that they believed in Allah. الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs, and Allah reminds all of you that everything happens, every land, every place, every prison, everything belongs to Allah. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He controls everything in the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Allah is witness over everything. Four times now Allah is mentioning this word of witness. Many times we think, Ya Allah, where are you? Allah saying, it's not that I'm gone. I see. Not only do I see, I witness better than you. And I'm keeping record. And I'm keeping account and a scorecard. I know better than even the victim knows about what's happening. So Allah says, Ala kulli shay'in shaheed. I bear witness. Allah is the witness over everything. Innal ladhina fatanu al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat thumma lam yatubu falahum adhabu jahannam walahum adhabu al-khariq. That anyone who harms, oppresses, persecutes a believing man or a believing woman and does not repent, they continue like this in their life and they die like that, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ. Allah said, promise them. Remember the promise Allah said? They will get the punishment of Jahannam. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. And they will get a torment that is extremely burning. Hariq. Usually when Allah uses this description, we know Jahannam is burning, but there are levels of burning. Now if you're in the fire and you say that place is burning, then you know that is severe. So this special kind of Jahannam is for them. And then Allah says to the... So Allah is saying to the king, now think about the Ashabul Uhdud, the people of the ditch. Allah says the king and his soldiers, they are in the burning. As for the believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. That as for the believers, you are in gardens under which rivers flows, and you will be there forever, and that is the great reward. So Allah is showing you that this is just a momentary thing that you're seeing. You're not seeing the full picture. That the good people, they are the ones, the Uyghurs, they will be the ones that are free in Jannat that have no boundaries. Whereas the oppressors will be in cages in Jahannam. The people that have been pushed out of their homes, they are not the ones that are homeless. They will have palaces in Jannah. And as for the tyrants, they will be in the fires of Jahannam. Allah says this is a momentary thing. The score will be evened. Now Allah says, subhanAllah, these are powerful ayat. Allah says, إِنَّ بَطَشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah says, batsh is when you grab someone. Allah says, when I grab, my grabbing is shadeed. It is extremely severe. When Allah grabs, He does not let go. When He takes retribution, then there is no turning back. Then there is no second chances. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبَدِعُ وَيُعِيدُ. That He is the one that starts and He repeats. What it could mean, you think you die, you're not going to get away from me. You will come, I'm going to bring you back to hold you account. Also, it's the type of punishment. You can only hurt someone once in this dunya, really. You can only sort of burn somebody once. Whereas in Qiyamah, Allah will burn you and bring you back and burn you again. And the punishment will continue and continue and continue. So you cannot escape. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبَدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. He was the one that started and He will repeat. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. SubhanAllah. In the midst of these very serious ayat, Allah says that He is Ghafoor, oft forgiving, and Wadood. And Wadood means full of love. Now how does this fit in when Allah is talking about the retribution? For the believer, the one who listens to this, Allah, the one who is suffering now, and whoever is going through any kind of harm, any kind of suffering, whether it's your sickness, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware that you are sick. You are lying on your bed, making dua, and your cure is not coming. You are being in an abusive relationship. You're being harmed financially some way. Allah says He is full of love and mercy for you. But whatever is going through your situation, Allah will show you His love and His kindness. And wadood, just a side note here, mahabba is love, hub is love. What's the difference between mawadda and mahabba? Hub is to feel love. It's a feeling. Mawadda is when you act with love. Now you can say this to your wives, this is something out of this thing. You can say, hub is, I feel love for you. But you can feel something and not act on it. But when you act with love, it becomes mawadda. It's not an emotion anymore. It's something physical. When your hands do it with love, it's mawadda. So Allah says when He acts with love. It's even to the tyrant and the oppressor. All the crimes you've done, if you turn back to Allah, He will forgive. The genocide that you've done, He'll forgive you. And He'll show you love. But you must return back. You must return back. Dhul Arshil Majid. That Allah is the one. Now remember this. All Dhul, this ayah, the surah, if you look at it again, there's many of these Dhul. Dhul means the one who possesses. Dhul Qarnain, the man who has two horns. So, Samati Dhatil Buruj. The sky that has a lot of stars. The people that had the ditches. Allah says, He is the one that has the Majid, the Arsh, the mightiest creation, the throne. Now, when you think of a throne, and you think of a king, it means that when He decrees something, it is perfect. When He delays His help, it's for a reason. We cannot be wiser than Allah. We might think, if I was in charge, I would immediately end the coronavirus. I would immediately set all the people free and give all the poor people money. Allah says, He is the Lord that has absolute wisdom. Your wisdom can't understand. You do not fully comprehend. He is the Lord of the perfect throne. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. He does whatever He wishes. He does what He wills. Then Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. Did the story of the armies come to you? فِرْعَوْن وَثَمُود. The story of Fir'aun. We all know Fir'aun, what happened to him. And Thamud, the city is still standing. You can still see. Allah says, these are not just tales. You can see it in your life, even our life now. They are preserved. بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ Those who can still deny. Those who are tyrants in the world, and they see what happened to Fir'aun, and they see what happened to Thamud, and they're still doing it. Then they are deluded. They are denying reality. Do they think they're going to escape? SubhanAllah. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ And Allah has already encircled them completely. Allah's armies are from all around them already. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ This is a perfect Quran. The same word Majid for the Arsh, without any flaw. This is a perfect Quran. فِي لَوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ A protected, preserved Quran in the highest, in the Sama. So SubhanAllah, this Surah Al-Buruj, we can spend a lot more talking about it. The point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds that no evil happens in this world except that there will be retribution, either in this dunya or in the akhirah. And in fact, of His ways of punishing, He allows the criminals to continue without punishing them in the dunya, so that the entire account happens in the akhirah. And as for the believer, Allah sometimes puts you through a hardship, a hadith. You go through a hardship in your family, in your body, in your wealth, in everything, so that when you die, you meet Allah. And there's no punishment left. There's only rahmah. There's only mercy. There's only jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins without holding us to account. May Allah grant that we live a life that is peaceful, and may we be in security in that which we love. May Allah not test us beyond our means. May Allah grant shifa to those who are ill, and rahmah and forgiveness for those who have passed away. May Allah grant all of us jannatul firdaus. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.